Well, I'm going to invite Catherine to come and bring a couple of readings, which are on the screen. Thank you. Two short readings, John 13 first, which you'll recognise, from about 20 minutes ago, and then Galatians. Thank you, Catherine.
So, first reading, John chapter 13, verses 31 to 38. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. But by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. And then turning over to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Doing good to all. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else. But each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. So reads God's Word. And now we're going to come to the preaching of God's Word. And Gary's going to get there. Thanks, Gary. So the plan is, for about half an hour, we'll have a sermon. And God willing, we'll come to Romans in 2 weeks. And in Romans, we'll get digging deep into the text. But today, we're continuing sort of on a topic, because we're having a few Sundays on the church, aren't we? Based on this book, which you have, and God willing, you've read. If you don't have, do come and take one. There's some copies here. They're free. Please do take them. We'd love you to take one and read it. Really helpful. And if you haven't read it and it's at home, yes, you should feel guilty. No, do read it. Read it. It's going to really help you. So that's what we're doing. Now, last week, what it looks like to love your church gathering. That was the sort of overall thing. Today, what it looks like to love your church's people. I probably should have had loving people before the gathering. Anyway, they're all kind of entwined, really. John's Gospel was read to us, chapter 13, and it's very clear. Three times in two verses, Jesus said, "Love one another. Love one another. Love one another." The message is clear, isn't it? And it's in numerous times in the New Testament as well. Romans 12, love one another. 1 Corinthians 12, care for one another. Galatians 5, serve one another. Ephesians 4, be kind to one another. Ephesians 5, submit to one another. Philippians 2, consider others better than yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4, encourage one another. This could be long, couldn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5, do good to one another. 1 Peter 4, show hospitality to one another. Well, we've struggled with that over the last year, haven't we, particularly? Harvest lunch next week is off. We're not having a harvest lunch, but we have encouraged last week. What about inviting someone into your home if you feel able to? Why don't we do that next week? So we are fellowshipping over food after the service next week. Show hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 5, be humble towards one another. And there are a number more verses. One another, one another, one another. Loving one another. It's all over the New Testament. It's so refreshing in our individualistic culture, isn't it? The Apostle John was listening that evening. Wouldn't you love to have been there? As Jesus gives this command. And it's told by the ancient writer, Jerome, that years later, when the aged apostle was too weak to preach, he would be carried into the congregation at Ephesus to give a word of exhortation. And guess what that word was? No prizes, I'm afraid. Yeah, thanks, Maria. So you can imagine him hobbling down the front, you know, sticks wobbling, supported down to the front, eventually carried to the front in the church. And his word was always, I mustn't keep it doing impersonation, little children, love one another. Apparently the hearers got a little bit tired of hearing the same words from him. And they said, John, why do you always say that? And it's reported, he answered, because it's the Lord's command. And if you do it, it's enough. Love one another. Not so that you don't have problems, although of course that will help, but love each other, for love covers a multitude of problems, sins. Love one another because you will have difficulties. Love because love is sin defeating. Love is vital. It's been described as a bit like the circulatory system of the church. So of course, in our bodies, blood carries goodness to every part, doesn't it? Nourishing every cell. But if our circulatory system has a problem, of course we do, don't we? In the church body, love is to circulate throughout the whole, bringing life, spiritual health to the people of the body of Jesus. But let's be honest, while the command is clear to love, it's also challenging, isn't it? How do we love each other when we're so different? When at times we hurt each other? When we misunderstand each other? When we just have personality clashes? Well, we can't simply kind of pin this verse up or put it on the fridge or whatever, and by repetition, by pulling our own socks up, if you like, and our own efforts, we can't just do it. No, we live out Christ's command by living on Christ himself, don't we? Loving one another is to be this distinguishing feature of the church. It is to be central. But it can only be central among us if it is, or if Christ is central in our lives. So he is our example, isn't he? John 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life. And 1 John 3, 16, I'll read it slowly, and some of you can finish it in your head. I can see your mouths moving and racing ahead of me. Praise the Lord, you know the verse. 1 John 3, 16, this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. If we can grasp more firmly the holiness, the purity, the justice of God, and we can grasp more the unloveliness of us, then we will start to see, won't we? We'll start to understand something of the greatness of God's love, which in Christ is able to cross that huge divide. Loving God and loving our neighbour has always been the top two, hasn't it? But post-cross, the love has a newness to it, doesn't it? So the old command is given new meaning, it's given new quality, it's given new weight, it's given new depths. So Jesus says, love as I have loved you. So because of Christ and what he did at the cross, we now see the kind of love we ought to have for one another. We see what true love is, don't we? It's sacrificial. It's one another first. It's cross-shaped, isn't it? So this is not, and I speak for myself, and again I think I speak for you, this is not a love mustered up from inside of us. We can do it for a bit, we can try for a bit, but we know what we're like. It is a love first received from outside of us. As we personally come to Jesus. Have you done that? Not the person next to you. Have you personally come to Christ and received this love? Have you felt sorrow in your sin? Have you realized your rebellion to your Maker? And in disgust at your lack of recognition, your lack of worship of your Maker, have you in faith thrown yourself at the foot of the cross in mercy? Have you seen the mercy and grace of God in human form, giving himself for you? Have you received, again, you personally, have you received the saving love of God? And how do you know you have, if you have, if you say you have? Well, what does the rest of the verse in John 13 say? You must love one another, because by this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. We know we've had this love, we've got this love by our actions, don't we? We'll think a bit more about that in a moment. But for our love to be cross-shaped, for our love to reflect the sacrificial love of Jesus, we first receive, and second, we continue to fix on him who first loved us. That is how we can live out this love, isn't it? Any joy in obeying this command of Christ comes from Christ himself. So we need to be busy, don't we, pursuing Christ? Because if I'm looking to Jesus daily, if I'm putting sin to death in my life, I will be able to love you. I will be a blessing to you. I will have a positive impact on the church. On the other hand, and we know this experience, don't we? If I'm looking to myself, if I'm simply indulging in my desires and not God's will, I will not have the inclination nor the power to love you. I will have a negative impact on the church. I'll be a pain. I'll probably cause pain. See, we don't sin in isolation. The church is a family, and parts of the body, each part affects the whole thing, doesn't it? So Paul says, Galatians 6, as was read to us, sow to the spirit, not to the flesh. So don't pander to the natural wants. The sinful desires that are in us, one day they'll be gone. We can't wait for that day, but they're in us now. They're still there. God willing, they're diminishing. But don't give in to them. Don't live by the kind of world's mantra, you know, kind of, I've got to do what's right by me. That's an introspective view, isn't it? We know what it means, and sometimes it might be right. But no, we want to live by what's right before God, don't we? Because what we reap, we sow. What we read, what we watch, what we allow our minds to think on, these things shape us. So the old adage in the book is very helpful. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The most loving thing you and I can do to love our church is to pursue Christ and Christ-likeness. Because Christ is the source of this love. He is the sun, isn't he, from which our love gets its heat. But what does it look like to love one another? It looks spectacular. It looks wonderful. I love the bit in the book about the story of the woman who came to the pastor. And she said, "Pastor, we need to see more signs and wonders amongst us." And the pastor responds, a great response, "Madam, there is a lady sitting over there who's been evicted from her apartment. I would consider it a sign and a wonder if you took her and her family in your house for 3 months to live." The church is the display of the extraordinary love of Christ in the world today. And we must never overlook, we must never undervalue how the Spirit works in God's people to display God's love. And we can and we should display this sign of Christ in us. So loving one another looks like lots of practical things, doesn't it? Caring, sharing, giving, forgiving, welcoming, encouraging, on and on. And we are to care for each other because we are our brother's keeper. We are to have each other's backs. I need you to be my keeper. We need one another. That is a family. That is how a family is to function. And so we reach out in care for one another. We shouldn't just assume others will, but actually we care enough to take the initiative. We should care enough to help one another when we struggle in sin. Some find kind of church a bit much, a bit intense. But struggle and effort is the reality of family life. And being God's heaven-bound family makes it kind of every grey hair, every sleepless night makes it completely and utterly worthwhile. There is nothing more glorious you can invest your time and your effort in than in Christ's blood-bought people. For the kingdom is eternal. We are to care for one another in gentleness. So a bruised reed he will not break, will he? Says Isaiah, speaking of Christ to come and his just lovely tenderness for sinners. A smouldering wick he won't snuff out. Great words, isn't it? Great truth. And neither should we. We should seek to support one another. We're kind of like the garden cane, if you like, holding up the brother or sister. Or if you like, the spark which can help fan our brother and sister's faith into flame. Spiritually helping each other. In love, we are to bear one another's burdens. We carry each other when we need to. And some of us are there now. We need to help carry each other through difficult times. There was that powerful moment in the 92 Olympics in Barcelona when British runner Derek Redmond tore his hamstring quite near the beginning of the 400-meter race. But he got up, didn't he? Some of you remember. Some of you remember fondly because it was a great moment. And he started limping, dragging his leg. He tore his hamstring, serious injury. Limping, hopping towards the end. And his father was there in the stands. And somehow he got through security. And he ran onto the track, didn't he? And he was there by his son's side, under his arm, supporting him round the track to the finish line. Just a hugely touching scene. It got the biggest cheer. And it's still remembered as one of the great Olympic moments. You look it up on YouTube, watch it. Stir your heart. And as you watch it, think of the church. how we are to bear one another along in our struggles to the finish line, all the way. So the older Christian comes alongside the younger, helping them in their struggle, helping to make their load lighter. Individuals meeting up to talk and to pray, sending messages of encouragement, a verse maybe, to each other, or perhaps sharing money. Another visiting someone who's housebound. Another making a meal for someone, or looking after the children, doing someone's shopping, on and on. It doesn't look heroic, does it? And it's often unseen, it's often unknown by most other people in the church. It is not spectacular in the world's eyes, but it is in God's eyes. Loving your church is extraordinary. And it is in the commitment, the day-to-day acts of love and care and support, the giving, the encouraging of Christ's people one to another. It's in sharing our situations. It's being honest enough to allow others in. Here's a struggle for the white British. Do we let people in our lives? Are we honest spiritually that we're struggling? It's the work of the whole church. The elder teacher role, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, is to equip the saints for works of service. Not to do all the caring themselves. How could they? We must be alert to the needs of others, committed to making them lighter. Bear one another's burdens, because Christ has taken your burden, hasn't he? Pilgrim's Progress, second book behind the Bible. Amen. Read Pilgrim's Progress if you haven't read it. It's Bible. It is just brilliant, and it's put in pictures. And that scene where Christian on his journey near the beginning makes it to the cross and he falls to his knees in humble praise, doesn't he? And the huge burden of his sin, it's pictured as this big pack on his back that he's been carrying around. It just falls off and it rolls, doesn't it? Away into a pit and it's gone forever. Forgiven. Christ bore your sin at the cross. Christ continues to bear you, Christian, along the narrow way to glory. He does that through his powerful, sustaining word. So let's be reading our Bibles, looking to Christ in his word. And he does that through his life-filled church, through the church loving one another and bearing each other's burdens. Galatians 6 verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Christian love isn't just an idea. It's not just a nice thought. It is to be a reality that is seen and felt by God's people in so many different ways as we do good for one another. What a family the church is. As one called it, it is the dearest place on earth. It is not a university. It is not a youth club. It is not an older friend's fellowship. It is not just a young people's thing. It is a diverse family of loving brothers and sisters, all ages and stages, in Christ Jesus. With a love exemplified by Christ, empowered by the cross, applied by the Spirit into our lives, and worked out by the body of Christ, one to another. Let's end with some action points. Go on, click away, Gary. Oh, sorry. You're not dozing now. No, sorry. Yeah. He wasn't really. Okay, they're from the book, Action Points. Recognize is your takeaways. Practical loving care is the ministry work of all believers. Please do not leave it for a few. Get stuck in. Remember, secret of getting a good life is to give yourself away. staying in, we have to at times, so careful hearing me wrongly, but just not giving ourselves away, just letting everyone serve us, is not a rich life. You'll be surprised how rich life is if you give yourself away. It is the work of the whole church. Recognize. Remember, your and mine, our personal walk with the Lord, always has an impact on the church community. So grow. Seek to grow in godliness. Lastly, resolve. Resolve to love the church. How do I do that? I'm going to tell myself to. I'm going to make my... No. Fight to grasp Christ. And so live on His love, and so live out His love. Recognize, remember, resolve.